It's 2:07 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live from my living room in Palm Springs, California. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, there is a nationwide surge in drug overdose deaths, especially inside the jail system. So in response, L.A. County Sheriff's Department is going to start cracking down on the illegal drug trade. Oh, wait, no, they're not. They're going to provide Narcan to the inmates.
It's funny. If you walk into a Walmart on Sunday morning in the county of Los Angeles and you're not wearing a mask, my guess is there'll be a helicopter right above you with someone working for the state of California descending from a cable to make sure that that rule is enforced. But if you're in prison for doing something really naughty, you can do all the heroin you want.
It will revive you if you do too much.
And there's nothing we can do to stop it. 800-222-KABC is the number, 1-800-222-5222. Later on in the hour, we're going to give away a trip to Las Vegas, so make sure you stick around for that. But right now, it is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. She is a California senator representing much of Riverside County in the Coachella Valley. You can get her on Twitter at Senator Melendez. Senator Melissa Melendez, welcome.
Why, thank you, John. Always a pleasure to be on with you.
So this mask mandate that came out with capricious and arbitrary reasons behind it in Los Angeles County quickly started the domino effect. Not long after they came out with their edict, Sacramento County did the same, Yolo County did the same, the Bay Area counties did the same, and Gavin Newsom has been absolutely silent. Gavin Newsom, however, is the reason that these counties can do this because he has not relinquished his emergency powers, which then kicks down emergency powers at the county level for them to do something like this. He's hiding from us, pretending like he has a problem with what they're doing, but none of it would be possible without him, would it?
That's correct. And I have been trying over and over to get SCR 5 passed, which would end the state of emergency so he could stop doing these sorts of things. And the Democratic Party refuses to even debate the bill.
I'm convinced that more lockdowns are on the horizon. Am I overthinking this, or do you think that's possible?
No, I think you're right. I feel like it's coming too. I mean, they keep talking about this Delta variant, and I think that's the precursor to another shutdown. I don't know, to what extent that shutdown will look like, if it'll be like the first round or some modified version, but I think we're going to go back into some form of a shutdown again. And I feel like Gavin Newsom wants to lose the recall by doing this because people are, they're angry. They're tired of it. I know parents are really ticked off about this mask mandate for when kids go back to school, which is completely moronic. And he just kind of keeps doing these things. I don't know if he's testing it to, I have no idea what he's doing, but you're right. He's passing the buck down to the public health officer so he could say, oh, it wasn't me, but it is.
You're so right about the recall because what they're doing cuts against his narrative. Because there's no superhero-like candidate on the ballot, we don't have an Arnold Schwarzenegger, we don't have a Donald Trump, we have a lot of different candidates with a lot of different fan bases and a lot of different constituencies banging away at him for a variety of reasons. He can't make it a mano, me versus you, red versus blue, conservative versus liberal matchup. So he's bragging about the California comeback. California's roaring back. People are going back to work. Children are going back to school. If public health officials make these decisions and require everyone to wear a mask or, God forbid, shut us down again, there's no way the teachers' unions are going to agree to go back to on-campus instruction. And this cuts at the heart of the argument that he's making to the people of California.
Oh, absolutely. The teachers' union is hopping mad about the fact that kids are going to go back to school in person, and they're doing everything in their power to, throw roadblocks up. But, parents, Democrat or Republican, they just want their kids back in school. Oh my God, it's been over it's been practically a year and a half now. This is ridiculous. This cannot go on forever. I mean, I don't think coronavirus is suddenly going to evaporate from existence. We're going to have to deal with it, but we have therapeutics now to deal with it. We have far fewer people dying from it. Yes, people are still getting it, but they're recovering from it, and they're still acting as though it's the bubonic plague out there. And I think people are tired of it.
You know, I think that the teachers' unions have been acting in bad faith ever since this pandemic began. They've been exploiting it to try to get their laundry list of demands that they've wanted long before the pandemic ever started. However, there is one point that they have that I think has some validity, and that is, how can you tell us the pandemic is over and we need to go back to work if the governor won't give up his emergency powers? If we have to pretend like everything is normal and we have to go back to the way things used to operate, then Newsom should too. And he's not doing it. And if he's not doing it, why should we?
Yeah, I mean, I personally think that the teachers' union, their motives are much more nefarious than that. And as far as Newsom is concerned, I mean, he just wants the power. I mean, I think he very much enjoys having an iron grip over the lives of every Californian. He is not about to give that up. And he will premise that by saying, well, you know, things change quickly and we need to be able to respond quickly, which is, again, utter nonsense, because when the whole thing first started, he was certainly able to respond quickly. I mean, they shut the state down in, you know, seconds flat. So it's not as though if that became necessary again, then he couldn't do that again. It's just he wants to keep it in power, maybe because he's afraid if he gives it up, the legislature will be less inclined to give it back to him. Because the Democrats, you know, they're not super happy about how he's handling things either, though they won't say so publicly. But I hear from them, of course, and I'm sure he does, too. So I suspect maybe he's worried that they'll say, you know, once bitten, twice shy, we're not giving you that power back again.
When you talk to the Democrats in the hallways or the cafeteria, wherever, the airport, and they voice their displeasure with how he's handled this crisis to you, what's their beef? Do they think that he opened up too quickly? Do they think he shut too much down? What is their gripe with him?
I think they're, let's see, it's a couple things. One, they're very, very unhappy with how he has handled the school situation, for sure. And the fact that the Capitol is still largely closed off to the public, that's annoying some people, although some of them like that very much because they don't want to face the public. But there are others who recognize that the public ought to be able to come in there and testify for or against bills in person and not be relegated to a telephone line, which they may get cut off from. The other thing is, I think they do recognize that he's got too much power. You know, they're looking at it as, hey, wait a minute, like I am, you know, I got elected to represent my constituents and be their voice, and you've cut me out of the equation, and they don't like that. So not enough of them, obviously, but they are certainly voicing their frustration. I wish they would do so publicly. I understand why they're not. Political suicide for them, I'm sure, but you know, sometimes you just got to have a backbone and stand up for what's right.
If Newsom believes that these new restrictions are going to hurt his chances in the recall election, he's going to have to lean on these public health officials. He's going to have to lean on members of these boards of supervisors, and he's going to have to let them know publicly that he's displeased with it. Do you think he's willing to go to war with certain parts of his coalition right before a recall election?
No. Oh, my goodness, no. Now, if anything, there's a wink and a nod going on there, you know, between him and those other factions of his party where he says, listen, I got to come out like the good guy here, so you guys have to be the bad guys. But we're all in agreement on what we should do. I mean, I don't see him going to war with any part of his party.
Where do you think public opinion is? Because anytime I look at polls in California, it seems like the people of California are more than happy to be shut down forever. And part of the reason that people give those answers to pollsters, in my opinion, is because of EDD. if the state of California is going to pay you more money to sit at home and watch Judge Judy reruns than they will, than you'll make if you go to work and you actually have to clock in at the plant 5 days a week, that's a no-brainer for a lot of people. And they can use the virus as the excuse to do that. But if you could be a couch potato and you can be lazy and you can eat fast food, do whatever you want, and not have to show up at an office on a regular basis, then people are more than willing to do that. Is it possible for us to truly reopen the state without getting rid of those EDD checks?
No. And, you know, between the EDD checks and the checks from the federal government and the checks that the governor wants to pass out to everyone just because, it is pretty difficult. I mean, I talk to employers all the time who say they can't get people to come into work. They can't. I mean, they have people who come in and interview, and then they ask them directly, if we offer you this job, are you planning on accepting it? And they're told, no, I just am doing this because EDD says I have to be actively looking for a job. So, yeah, it's hard to entice people with work if they can get a check without working. And the governor does, you know, he's not really showing any signs of stopping this little program he has going of passing money out to keep people home and not working. And it is hurting the economy. I mean, there's some very frustrated employers out there.
Where do you think the recall stands today?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we've got several candidates now who are, you know, some pretty strong candidates, and you're right, they all have their own fan base. I'm not entirely sure who's going to rise to the top, but I think, you know, if they continue with this nonsense with the schools, I think that's definitely going to hurt the governor. The problem is, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, Democrat voters who they can't bring themselves to vote for a Republican. They may be unhappy with what the governor is doing, but they just can't pull the trigger on tossing him out of office unless perhaps there was another Democrat on there for them to choose from. And I don't see that happening either. But yeah, they're going to have to live with their decision when their kids get back to school, or if they're a business owner and, you know, they just can't run their operation the way they need to actually make some money. They're the ones who are going to have to live with that. And I'm telling you, this, if you leave it up to the Democratic Party, this is going to go on for a very, very long time, because in their minds, it's just always going to be a threat. And that threat equates to more government power and more ability to kind of control people's movement and what they're able to do and what their kids are able to do. And I don't quite understand why people are willing to cede that power to the government, but for some reason they are.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because my neighbor is a Democrat and we talk politics every once in a while. And I asked her what she thought about Newsom's performance. And she thinks Newsom's been a disaster and doesn't mince words about it, but said, I'm not going to go vote for a porn star. I'm not going to vote for Caitlyn Jenner. I'm not going to vote for the reality show people. I'm not going to vote for the guy with the bear. And it's just that simple. And what I can't get out of my head is, okay, you don't like Newsom. You don't like the alternatives. Maybe those people just stay home. And I didn't ask her that, but I'm curious if that's what she's going to end up doing.
Well, that would be great. If she stays home, that would be wonderful. I would encourage that sort of behavior, because what I want is for people to vote, yes, I want to recall Gavin Newsom. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, you can have 9 million candidates on the ballot, but it means nothing if, you know, enough people don't say, yes, we want to recall Newsom. And frankly, at this point, I think, you know, Yogi Bear would be better than Gavin Newsom. I don't care who they vote for at this point. Just get him out of there.
How awkward is it in Sacramento? Because the Republicans certainly want Newsom recalled. Democrats are, I'm not going to say enthusiastically supporting him. They're doing what they're supposed to do, but they're not doing it with great vigor. When you guys see him in the halls, or you guys have to go to a function that he's appearing at, is it awkward?
I have never seen Gavin Newsom at an event, ever. Never seen him walking the halls. I've never seen him out in public, not once. Not once. So I don't know where he's hiding, but he is not making himself available. And I will tell you that Governor Brown, he was always out and about. I mean, you could be walking around downtown Sacramento and look to your right and, oh, there's the governor. Yeah, he was frequently out. Gavin Newsom, never, ever see him. Now, is it awkward, you know, having these discussions around other Democrats? Yeah, it can be, because it's a very hostile environment right now. I mean, it's not, you know, when I first got up there, people, you know, we would argue about policy and have our battles on the floor. But then it was cordial after that. You know, you recognize you got a difference of opinion. You can agree to disagree, but you're still human beings. You know, you're going to fight each other on these issues, but you don't demean and demoralize people as a person. Now it's very, very personal. I mean, it's personal attacks. It's very hostile.
When I follow A. Smith, who's Gavin Newsom's consultant on social media, he seems to spend all of his time going after Kevin Faulkner. They're really hitting Kevin Faulkner at every opportunity. When you talk to Democrats up there and you talk to people who have Newsom's ear, do they think that Faulkner is the biggest threat to Newsom?
Actually, there's... they talk about Faulkner. They talk about Kylie as well. Nobody really talks about John Cox. And there's, you know, of course, some banter about Caitlyn Jenner and then Larry Elder getting in the race, too. There's talks about that. But I don't know if they've figured out exactly who the biggest threat is. But certainly, I mean, Kevin Faulkner has more campaign cash than I think the other candidates do. So, you know, that's always more dangerous. So, they're going to keep going up. But, you know, his staff, I mean, his political staff, they spend all day long on Twitter going after every Republican. I mean, that's literally all they do all day long. It's kind of comical. I just, you know, think what a miserable job that must be to just sit there and troll on Twitter all day. But that's what they do. I mean, they need to get like their blood pressure checked or something, because that cannot be good for their health.
Senator Melissa Melendez, representing much of Riverside County. You can get her on Twitter at Senator Melendez. And a little birdie told me you're a candidate for lieutenant governor. Is that true?
That is true. We have filed paperwork, so we'll see where this takes us. Going to have to raise money and get the word out. But yes, that is something that I am contemplating. Yep-er.
All right, Senator Melissa Melendez, and potential candidate for lieutenant governor. Thanks so much for stopping by. Have a wonderful weekend.
Anytime. You too, John.
It's 2:36 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'll tell you, we are now so close to the weekend, I can taste it. Can you taste it, Randy?
I can't, because I haven't opened the wine yet. And I've been on wine restriction since I got back from Sonoma County, because we drank too much on the river. So tonight will be the first time I'm opening a bottle since Saturday.
Oh, that's great restraint.
I may have overdone it with the rosé on the Russian River.
There's no such thing on the Russian River. Despite my predisposition for trash TV, I can honestly say I've never been swept up by the drama provided to the country by the Kardashians. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they wear. I don't care who they're dating. That show is a show that has never appealed to me.
And you like some trash.
Oh, I love trash. Are you kidding? I was flying back from Miami a couple weeks ago, and I watched a Chrisley Knows Best marathon from runway to runway and was proud to do it. And I got those judgy looks from the flight attendants and people going to the bathroom when they looked at my TV and saw what I was watching. But you think for one second I gave a damn? No, I don't care. That's what I like, and I'm proud of it. However, I, because of my job, am getting dragged into Kardashian drama thanks to Caitlyn Jenner's candidacy, and I've got to admit, I don't like it. Randy, you have the latest on all of her drama.
Caitlyn's campaign has come under fire today because some people believe she might not be taking this very seriously, considering that it came out today that Caitlyn Jenner will be leaving the country for 3 weeks to film Australian Big Brother.
Now, those shows involve celebrities fighting with one another about trivial matters.
That's right. They're going to put 14 D-list celebrities all in a house together and see what happens.
Yes. Now, that being said, that's not going to make her look like a stateswoman. Throwing SpaghettiOs at her housemates is not something that's going to take people who may have reservations about voting for her because of her reality show past and say, all right, this is the future.
Maybe the Australians that watch Australian Big Brother will get impressed by her and they'll vote in the recall. Oh, no, wait, that's only a California recall. She's going to be on a TV show in Australia. That's not going to do her any favors. By the way, she's only filming for 1 week, but in order to do it, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks in Australia.
That's true. And besides the TV show in Australia, she is also taping her campaign here in California. Well, I shouldn't say California because she spent a lot of time in New York. But she hasn't sold it yet for a documentary or a reality show. But just because she hasn't sold it yet doesn't mean she won't.
No, and but they are actively trying to sell some kind of documentary or reality show or Caitlin tried to be governor as soon as this thing fizzles out. Although she did put in the paperwork. Today's the deadline. And she has put in the tax return. She put in the 65 signatures and the $5,000 with L.A. County. So she is going to be on the ballot in Sacramento, even though for the next 3 weeks, she will not be campaigning. Now, she's pushed back on her Twitter account saying, I have not paused my campaign at all. I am preparing to launch a multi-week bus tour across California. What she didn't tweet was that's after I go on an Australian reality show.
Wait, this isn't a presidential campaign where you have 4 years to get things done. This is a sprint. We've got the election coming up in what, September?
That's right. We are less than 60 days away from this election. That's less than 8 weeks. And 3 of those weeks, she's going to be filming a reality show for Australia. Now, she also pushed back on people thinking that she wasn't taking this very seriously by tweeting out, I am honoring a work commitment that I had made prior to even deciding to run for governor. There is no pause at all in this race to save California. I wonder when she was initially talking to the consultants that she actually talked to and the consultants that she lies that she talked to, like Jim Brulte, if she mentioned when she was deciding to run for governor, oh, I got to take 3 weeks off in July so I can do a reality show.
All right, let's have a frank discussion about this because the election is around the corner. We don't have a lot of time to waste, and this conversation needs to be had. It's like having the conversation about the birds and the bees with your kids. We need to have the reality show conversation. If you're pregnant, you're pregnant or you're not. You're not a little bit pregnant, you're not a lot pregnant. It's a yes or no question. There's nothing in between. When it comes to being a reality show star, either you're reality show trash or you're not. There's no, you're kind of reality show trash or you're not. It's one way or the other. That's the way it works. And you can't do that during the day and then be respectable as a candidate for governor at night. It's not possible. Do you remember when Jerry Springer was trying to do this in Ohio?
That's right.
He wanted to be Jerry standing there with the microphone as members of the Klan throw chairs at one another by day and a candidate for the U.S. Senate by night. It doesn't work that way. Geraldo, remember when Geraldo was thinking about running for the U.S. Senate in New Jersey?
That's right.
That didn't work out. We've got some housewife candidates that are running for governor. They're not going to get elected. These people live for attention. They live to be on TV. They live to be written about in the tabloids. They love to be talked about on Entertainment Tonight. They like to be in the Hollywood squares. They like to be on Celebrity Big Brother. And everything they do, every move they make, is designed to produce more of those opportunities. The worst thing that could ever happen to these people is that we don't talk about them. The recall election has given an opportunity, a great opportunity, to many of these people to present themselves as a candidate. They have no intention of being elected. They have no intention of governing. They don't follow what goes on in Sacramento. They wouldn't if they had to. They don't care. They don't care about water policy. They don't care about the fires. They don't care about putting kids back in school. They know what the script is. They know why people are angry. So they read from that script. But it's not something they've thought about. It's not something they care about. It's not something they'd be equipped to deal with if they were to be elected governor. So let's just call it for what it is. It's an opportunity to force the media to cover them. It's like standing behind Hoda at the Today Show and waving and bringing your sign. You know you're going to end up on TV, so that's why you do it.
And you got to think, before Caitlin made this, quote, announcement, the coverage was getting pretty light. She had to do the Masked Singer to get people to pay attention to her. Then after that, she tried to make a YouTube cooking show. And then she tried to pitch a sitcom that she actually posted videos about on her YouTube channel that did not get picked up. It was only then, and at that point, she said, I'm running for governor. And what do you know? People are paying attention to Caitlin. She's on Fox News every other day.
And before that, she was on the Kardashians reality show, and then she had a spinoff where there was a reality show about her, but that tanked, so they didn't renew it after two seasons. So everything this woman does is designed to produce more reality TV, including her campaign for governor. So I'd be happy to have her on and talk about the subjects that are facing California. She's not going to have any of the answers. We all know what she's doing. But I guess if she's a candidate and she's showing up in the polls, you have to cover her like she has a chance to win.
Now, John, let me give you one piece of Caitlin information that might make you like her a little more, because we've been piling on Caitlin a lot today. But the LA Times did their usual hit piece they do against everybody. They did one against Caitlin, calling her more Gary Coleman than Arnold Schwarzenegger. Caitlin Jenner's historic run struggles. And they quote a bunch of different consultants, including Mike Madrid, co-founder of the Lincoln Project. Well, Caitlin tweeted out that article. And Caitlin said, not sure the LA Times wants to start quoting a guy who co-founded an organization that preyed on young men.
Well, on that, she and I are in agreement. You know, that's why the Lincoln Project guys don't play blackjack.
Why?
Because you're not supposed to hit on 17. 246. Let's take a look at the roads.